Hi, babes. Welcome to the Highway to Health podcast. We are your hosts, Elvi and Vale.
The podcast for open conversations about health, talking about the struggles of living with chronic illness, coping with emotional hardships, and sharing all the lessons we've learned along the way.
We want to be a source of information, empowerment, and community, but we are also here to show you that we are normal people too and have struggles and off days.
Grab your green juice, lemon water, herbal tea, or whatever suits your mood, and make yourself comfortable and get ready to get on the highway to health.
Hello, how are
you? Hi, babe. I'm good. How are you? How has your week been?
It's been super good. I've been traveling again. My sister and I met up in Zurich and we had some lovely time with some friends. It was only for very short, but it was still super nice to be back. And now we're back in the mountains again and enjoying winter wonderland here. What about you? How's your week been?
It's been really good. It's been snowing here finally again, so that the brightness from the snow makes the, you know, whole day feel so much brighter. And we've also had some sun out, which we haven't in a long time. So that's super nice. And it makes me so happy. Like, I do get quite impacted if it's sunny or cloudy, unfortunately. But when it's sunny, I'm super happy.
Hate to admit it, but definitely.
Yeah, I mean, because some people are like, they don't get that whole thing, but I totally get it. I think that like the sunlight on your skin releases so many positive like endorphins and other hormones in your body. Yeah, and even when you wake up first thing in the morning looking outside and it's sun.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
It is. And there's like, I mean, I do love like a cloudy day, especially if it's snowing. I think if it's like just cloudy, I'm not such a fan of it, but like now if it's like snowing, then I'm like, oh, I can get so nice and cozy. And like, even if you go out, like you get the little snowflakes everywhere and it just looks so pretty. And so that's fine. But if it's just cloudy, I just get this like sense of like, it's like weighing down from above. And but anyways, we're going to talk about dealing with family and friends during the holidays, specifically unsupportive, but in general, it can be quite a challenging time for many of us, especially on medical medium lifestyle. It is definitely requires a lot of shifts, at least for me, and I'm pretty sure for you as well it has, because the traditional kind of foods and things like that are not necessarily very MM friendly, to say the least.
Exactly. And most times as well, people around you, family and friends, are not very MM friendly either, because they are not into the whole lifestyle.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily also know much about it. And so I think that also makes it difficult sometimes.
Yeah, but I think that this is a very important topic for sure, because we're getting close to Christmas, at least the two of us. I know we're both celebrating on the 24th, right?
Yes.
So that's just in 2 days. And I'm super excited. I love Christmas. It's such a like, it's a time of the year that symbolizes a lot of coziness and winding down. It's beginning to go into the new year. And usually, I mean, I'm surrounded by my family, which I don't see very often. So it's a very special time to me. How do you guys celebrate?
Yeah, I mean, we also definitely spend a lot of time with family. And I mean, it's, I guess it's a little bit different because we're not all in the same place. Most of my family is like spread out in Germany. And we're in Switzerland, and we like to celebrate Christmas as well here, just because, yeah, I mean, we've always have.
And very beautiful scenery as well.
Yes, exactly. And usually one of my grandparents come, so we usually like switch every year. Either my mom's parents come or my dad's mom comes. And so that's always really nice because it's like every year you kind of can look forward to seeing like your grandparents again, which is really nice, and we can spend time together. But obviously, as they get older, it is getting a little bit more difficult because it is quite a long travel and we're pretty high up in the mountains as well. And so, like, the altitude is like a lot sometimes for them. But my mom's mom is coming. No, my dad's mom is coming this year, which is super nice. And we're really looking forward to it. And yeah, we just spend it, the five of us. So, yeah.
Good quality time.
Exactly, always.
Oh, that's so nice. My family, we celebrate it because my grandparents, they live in the south of Sweden, both of them in the kind of the same place, like two different cities, but about 20 minutes in between. So it's not far at all. So we usually, even when we used to live in Italy, we would always come back to Sweden to celebrate Christmas, which has been a very nice tradition. Also because like Christmas looks different in every country. And I love the Swedish traditions just because I'm brought up in that setting. So this year it will be how we usually celebrate. Last year my family, like me, my mom, sister and dad, we got COVID like some days before, so
Oh my
we
God, I
weren't able to
remember.
celebrate.
Yeah, but
So
that's so nice to be in such a big group.
yeah, it is actually. And we usually like celebrate after they will come over at maybe 2 p.m. and then we have the whole evening afternoon together.
That's really nice. Do you guys actually go to church on new on
No, we
Christmas?
don't, but there we actually live super close to a church, like just one house away. I don't know if you
Yeah, I
remember.
remember, yeah.
So not usually, but sometimes we will go to see like Christmas concert.
Okay,
But
yeah,
it's
that's
more
nice.
by a choir. But I
Yeah.
would love to go to church like for the Christmas.
No,
I
that's
don't know. In
nice.
Sweden, there's like this thing, like a midnight service at Christmas. Yeah, so I would like to try that sometime, but
Yeah,
in
especially if the
Sweden,
church is so close, it's like quite nice.
exactly. I really don't have an excuse, but in Sweden, we're not like, at least not my family and most of the population are not very religious. But now it's more of like a beautiful tradition, so everyone's
Yeah,
always
exactly.
welcome to go, and it's a nice one for sure.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Do
Yeah, because
you,
around.
will you go to church?
Yeah, so we usually do. I remember last year we weren't able to because of COVID restrictions. We still did go to like a little church in this little like how do you call it? Like valley that you can go up. And there's like at the very top of like you go up this like valley, and at the very top there's like a hotel, restaurant, and stuff, and there's this little tiny church there, and it's just the cutest thing. And every time we go in the valley, we always go inside, and you can like write in a book. And so last year we went there because you could just go in, and like we went before the service, and so it wasn't an issue. But I think this year it should be okay again because we usually go to like a different town further down, and they do like the singing and like they like tell this like different stories and things like that, and so it's quite nice. And we do usually do that, but because of the restrictions, it's been a little bit more difficult. But yeah, hopefully we can this year. But we do that like before, we do that in the late afternoon, and then afterwards we come back home and like do gifts and like sing a little bit and like do cookies and stuff like that. And then afterwards we have like a really long dinner.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't
Oh,
believe it's already so soon.
I know. Each
Wow.
year. And also I remember like because during the summertime in July, like on the 24th of July, everyone is like, okay, it's 6 months until Christmas. And you're like, what? It was just Christmas. And now we're
Yeah,
like, oh my God,
it's
it's
already
like in 6 months, it's full on summer again.
Yeah,
So crazy.
wild.
So it's about staying in the moment and not looking forward. And now we're actually here. And for
Exactly.
now, we're having the snow, then we'll see.
Yes.
At least for us, because usually in the south of Sweden, we don't get to have the white Christmases. But so let's get into the actual topic. Like, I mean, introduced it with a little bit of Christmas setting, how we celebrate, but how is it usually for you, talking about like the social gathering around the food that you serve around Christmas? I mean, now you have your family and your grandma, but is it usually like a lot of traditional foods that you're eating, or have you tried to make most of the dishes into MM-friendly ones? How are your thoughts around Christmas food in general?
Yeah, so the actual Christmas dinner, we usually do like a fondue, like a meat fondue. So we get like a big platter of like sliced meat, and then you wrap it around the fork and then you put it in the bouillon.
Yeah.
And obviously, since I went vegetarian and vegan, I have been eating that, but we have like a bunch of sides with it. So we have like loads of different sauces that go along with it. We always have like salad and potatoes. And since I went vegan and like MM, I've just also kind of been like making my own thing and then like having that as like a main. But in general, like I would say, we do try to like adapt certain things, but I think it's also like sometimes it's hard to veganize things because like it's never going to be as good as the actual thing. And so it's like, I don't know, I also don't want my whole family to like veganize every single meal just so I can eat it. Like they also like to enjoy certain things that I don't necessarily eat because I just don't feel good eating it. And so like that's like, I always say that that's fine for me. Like they can have whatever they want and I'll just make my own thing. I would say that in general, like I just kind of try to like have a variety of different things so that it's not like just one main thing. And because we have so many sides as well, it's like you can also, because I love also about Christmas is just like that you all just kind of like eat from the table, and like we love that kind of like communal thing. So it's not like everybody has their plate and that's what they eat, but it's like there's so many different things on the table and you just kind of like share and like give different things, and like, you know, that's kind of like the energy that we love during the evening. And I think a massive thing for me also is like the cookies that you have during Christmas, and we're very big, like we always used to make a bunch of cookies and we have like recipes that are like back from like my great grandma and stuff that we always continued making, that are not MM friendly. And so definitely switching those has been like a challenge for sure, and we're definitely still working on that, because again, it's like you can't just veganize these things and like it's just not going to turn out the same way with like vegan and gluten-free ingredients. And so then it's just like it's just disappointing in a way, because like you know how good the usual thing is. Yeah. And then it just doesn't taste the same. But I mean, there's so many different recipes, and I think it's just a matter of like experimenting what works for you and like just like experimenting with different ingredients and stuff. So that's for sure something that I'm still working on. I think it's, for me, it's really just about like finding substitutes that I can actually enjoy and I know that I'll feel satisfied with, rather than like trying to veganize certain meals that we typically have, because for me it just hasn't really worked. And like I said, like I just think of the thing that is not vegan and it's just, I don't know, to me it's just never going to be as good. And so I just don't think there's a point in doing that. But yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. I mean, I've only had like two Christmases being vegan, I think, or even just no, one. One, right? Yeah, I went vegan 2020, and then 2021 I had it. So this is the second one. That's wild. But beforehand, I was vegetarian for two before that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have the fondue, but I just had like the sides and like potatoes.
Yeah, and you can do cheese fondue as well, but maybe then it's a different setup.
Yeah, it's a completely different setup. Yeah, all and right. We don't really make cheese fondue like, I mean, we used to, I guess, but I never like cheese fondue. I always had raclette a lot, which is like the little, you know it, right?
Yeah, why do I know that?
It's like the little pan that you put in like this, and you have like a slice of cheese and it's just on this pan, and
oh,
you
yeah.
put it in and it
yeah.
melts and you put it over.
Yeah, I think you explained that in one episode. That's why I was so familiar.
But yeah, no, that I used to love to eat. I had that on a weekly basis, like sometimes several times a week because I was such a picky eater. But a little bit off topic. But yeah, no, that's pretty much what it looks like for me. Yeah. What about you? What are your food things looking like this year?
I mean, first of all, I love what you described about like your family having all these small dishes on the table and you kind of like share it like a community, because that's also what I love about Christmas, because even everyone isn't eating maybe the same and some people prefer some dishes over others, everyone can try from one another, and it's just the sense of sharing, like discussing the food. I really like that, and it's also a really good appreciation for all of the time and effort that goes into the food. Yeah, which is super nice. And so for my family, since me and my sister went vegan, and even before, like when I went medical medium, I don't know if I can say that, but when I adopted the medical medium lifestyle, I guess that I would just like make my own stuff, or that me and my mom would try to adapt some dishes to be where we would use less oil, a little more, you know, fat-free, and maybe more of the sides that you're talking about as well, like for example, maple glazed Brussels sprouts, or having sweet potatoes in the oven, you know, all of these foods that we were also discussing in the last episode where we were talking about seasonal foods. I mean, a lot of those plant-based ones I try to have like in a nice Christmassy salad with pecan nuts. And there are like a lot of good vegan substitutes to meatballs, which are traditional for Swedish like Christmas buffets, and also like small sausages and coleslaw, everything like, I don't know, not necessarily coleslaw, but like similar cabbage stews, I don't know what to call them. But in Sweden, we usually have like a buffet. So there are a lot of different things. And there's usually also some plant-based things on there. Lots of bread and also lots of fish, like salmon and herring, I think it's called in English. So I think there has always like, it's not necessarily that I've felt it being a challenge, even the first year, because there were always these substitutes. And even though I'm not a big fan of substitutes, because I mean, the ingredients aren't really good at all. It was still, it's like a nice comfort to have when you're transitioning into a plant-based diet and you're used to having certain foods that really symbolize Christmas for you. But today, I guess like my side of the family, like my parents and I and my sister, we mostly eat plant-based or like cleaner foods. I would like whole foods. So we usually do like a lot of, mostly all of the dishes. But then, for example, my grandparents, they might want to have, I don't know, ham, because we have like a Christmas ham that is layered in mustard. And they will bring that, and then maybe my other grandmother will bring like some of her really good desserts or sweets. So everyone will bring what they really want to have on the Christmas table, and everyone can take from each other, of course. So that's really nice. Yeah, so I think it's a really nice social gathering in general around food during Christmas time. And it usually becomes a lot of food, because we will like I said, my family will come over at 2 p.m. And then there's like this, I don't know, it's like a national TV program, which everyone watches. And it's about like Donald Duck and like different, I don't know, it's like all animated. I know, it's so fun.
Is it the Christmas one?
Yeah, it's the Christmas one. But it's like little snippets of so many different Christmassy animated programs.
Yeah, oh my god, that's so cute. That sounds really good. I love all of your, hearing about all of your traditions. It's so nice. Like, it just gets me in such a Christmassy mood. But going on to, like, something that we wanted to talk about in this episode is this time of year is also a time where it can bring up a lot of like anxieties and like fears and like uncomfortable and negative feelings, especially if the people that you spend time with during this time of year are not necessarily supportive to your lifestyle. So I'm wondering if you've had like situations or like times where your family hasn't, or like family in the broader sense, or friends even, that haven't been supportive, and how you kind of have been able to deal with that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's such an important one as well, because I know that so many people are afraid to change up their lifestyle because they're afraid of how others will perceive it, or what others might say. And for me, I think that I have a like very hard shell on the outside. So people might not understand that sometimes something that they say might impact me more than it does. But since I made my transition into whole food, plant-based very early, and even before then, I was still like very not health conscious, but I was trying to eat very like clean and healthy because of my illness. I think people always like viewed me as eating different from them, but I noticed, so like through that period, didn't notice anything. Maybe more people who were curious, they would ask. But then when I made the actual like transition into being vegan, then I noticed a huge ton of like resistance, also from like my grandparents. And, you know, of course, because in Sweden, traditionally, like for the elder generation, it's not, they like their meat and their dairy and their eggs. So I guess more there, like there would be some comments like, oh, but maybe you're sick because you're not eating meat, or maybe, you know, all of this. And I mean, it's not that it would hurt me, because I know that my close family, they only mean the best, but it's more like a feeling of, becoming a little annoyed that I have to explain myself. I mean, absolutely, you never have to explain your food choices.
Yeah.
But still, like, I also wanted to educate them and maybe tell them why I'm eating this way, so that I could get their support, because having the support from your family means so much.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But so from my mom and dad, they've always been very supportive, but they might have been like asking me why I do a certain way, because medical medium lifestyle is not only going plant-based, it's like so much more with the gluten and sugar and soy and corn. It's so much. So it wasn't just that part. And I feel like explaining all of the other parts as well were a little tricky. But then around like Christmas time, I've always just like made, like you have as well, made my own foods so that I meet my own needs, and no one else has to take them into consideration.
Exactly.
But now after 6 years, I mean, going into the sixth year, my whole family knows what to cook for me. And even when I go to my, because we usually always like the day after Christmas, we will go to one of my grandparents' house and eat there, and then the day after that to the other. And they always make MM-friendly food for me, which is so crazy.
That's like, amazing.
They basically know how to make MM-friendly recipes by now. So
you trained them well.
So I would say that sometimes in the beginning it can be tough, because a lot of people will question you. A lot of people won't understand why you do certain food choices, maybe because they would like to do them themselves but don't have like strength to do so, but also because they might feel a little intrigued. Or sometimes I feel like when you say that you're in quotation marks vegan, I don't like that label, but plant-based, people get like offended, or like, you know, because they, I don't know, something in them says that,
aura, the word has
like... Maybe some people would also like to eat more plant-based, but they haven't done that change. So it's like a reminder to them, and then they can get a little passive aggressive, I feel like. But to me, that's just a sign that maybe they want to be inspired. So if they ask any questions, I always try to like have a good tone and more, you know, invite in their curious mind.
Yeah, that's a really good mindset.
But I don't know if I answered your question around the traditional foods.
What do you mean?
Like how I handle unsupportive family, maybe in like Christmas time.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think I did. Okay. You did.
Yeah, but I would love to hear you, because now your family knows your way of eating as well. And how has it been with your different grandmothers coming over? How have they handled the whole situation?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting when I think about it, because I've actually only had one Christmas, obviously, last year, where I was like fully plant-based and gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And that was actually also with my dad's mom, the same one that's coming this year. And I think last year she kind of had like a bit of a realization, because at the time my skin was like, during the winter, my skin always is a little bit worse than it is during the summer. And so when you see a lot of family during that time, it's obviously easy for them to think like they see the skin issues, and then they relate it to like, it's not like what you're doing is not working, you know, automatically. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's obviously like, I know that it takes time. I know that the symptoms come up like time and time again, and it just gets a little bit better every single time. And so last year I had a chat with her, and like I think I was really able to explain to her like the change that it's actually made for me, and that was like a year ago, you know. And so it's like now I'm obviously at a much different place, but even last year, like, I had already made such massive improvements. And like, I think one thing that really helped her was showing her pictures of like the way that it used to look like at the very beginning, mm-hmm. and then the way that it had gotten better progressively. And like, yes, maybe at that time I was breaking out a little bit more. And I think also what I wanted to mention is like, during this time of year, it's harder, in my opinion, or at least it's been like that for me, to stick to what, you know, makes you feel good, because there's so many different, like, I don't want to say temptations, but like different things that you maybe used to eat, and you know that they don't make you feel good anymore, and so you don't want to eat them. But like, there's a lot of different outside factors that are like playing in, and I think it's really hard there to kind of like stick to what you know and stick to what you know makes you feel good, because you're used to like, you, it's really easy to fall back into your old habits and like, I don't know, eat the way that you used to eat, or like do the things that you know that now doesn't make you feel good. And so I think that's definitely something challenging, but I think mainly explaining to her specifically, and like really showing her the impact that this lifestyle has had on my life, I think she really started to understand, and it kind of clicked for her, which was really nice to see, because she did also like kind of, you know, it's always these like little, I know that it's never meant in a bad way. And like you said, like it always comes from a place of love, but it's those like little comments that mm-hmm. add up and that can make you feel very unsupported. And yeah. I'm also very lucky that my close family is super, super supportive. And my mom literally got me into medical medium, you know? And so it's like, mm-hmm. I'm very, very lucky with that. And like the fact that they've always kind of accommodated for my needs. And like eating out, especially, it's like we always kind of try to find a solution for me. And I know that it can like get a lot sometimes, especially like here in the mountains. Sometimes it's just difficult to find something that I like that mm-hmm. suits my needs. And so in that way, I'm definitely super, super grateful for that. And like in general, my family has always been very supportive. But like you said, they just question certain things. And yeah. So at the beginning, it was definitely harder, because obviously the results come a little bit later. mm-hmm. And so at times it was hard to kind of like, I felt like I had to justify myself, and like I had to stand for something that I didn't even know if it would work. Like, yes, I saw certain improvements, but I didn't know if it would work long term. And so it's hard to then kind of stick to it and like constantly have to be explaining yourself, especially when, like for me, my like symptoms were very physical, like it was all seen from the outside. And so it's definitely hard to kind of face that when you're around family, and like that constant feeling of like they're kind of doubting it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is like, it can get to your head, and it's super important there to kind of like ground yourself and like remember why you're doing it and remember how far you've come, and think about all the people that are supportive for you, to you. Is that right?
Yeah. Supportive of you.
Exactly. And, you know, don't let it like affect you too much, because most of the time, like, I don't spend that much time with my family, because like my extended family, because they're all spread out and we just don't see each other that much. And so it's like, they don't see most of what I'm doing, you know, like mm-hmm. they see those little snippets. Yeah. And like, that's just the way it is. But like, in the end, it's what makes you feel good. And like, you have to know why you're doing it. And that's gonna be what keeps you going. I think that's exactly. Like a major thing.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And especially, we also have to take into consideration with like everyone around us, they've been eating for a certain way probably all of their life, mm-hmm. Not trying out new lifestyles. Maybe they've tried like an eventual diet that lasted like 2 weeks, but then they would go back to their old ways of eating. Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, making such a big change diet wise can seem overwhelming, and maybe so many people can't even begin to imagine what that would look like.
Yeah.
And I think also a lot of people will be like, but if you eat this this way all of the time, why can't you just eat normal during Christmas? Like, what will that do? Mm-hmm. Because when they can't see or feel that relationship of food and symptoms, mm-hmm. then it's so hard to understand, of course.
For sure.
Especially for me, who had mostly like internal symptoms, it will be very hard for people to understand that the food was making me better.
Exactly.
But slowly they are. Yeah. And I'm very happy that they've understood that my diet and lifestyle choice has really played a huge part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you're in it for the long run. Like, it's not just something that you can do for like 2 years or whatever, and then, you know, you go back to normal. It's like, it's really something that you stick to in the long haul. And so mm-hmm. I think understanding that as well, it's like, we're practicing like preventative methods to like avoid certain situations in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to understand that when society is built in a way or set up in a way where you live your life, you get sick, and then you deal with it. And we're dealing with, like, we're kind of like,
we're reversing symptoms instead of just like putting.
Exactly. But we're also like working kind of in the opposite way. Like, we don't wait to get sick.
Yeah.
We do things beforehand in order to avoid getting sick.
Exactly. Preach, sister.
But I think this is also something like important to mention, is that when you feel these like unsupportive things from family.
Yeah.
Sorry, my English is not very good right now.
Sometimes. We just speak this way. Guys, keep in mind, English is not our first language.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it is mine, but I've had it since kindergarten. But, you know, anyway. Okay. I think it's really important to kind of set your own boundaries and like also communicate that, because sometimes family doesn't know when it's like when you're like crossing a line. And I think it's mm-hmm. also easy to think that like because it's family, it's like more okay, in quotation marks. I'm putting quotation marks. But like, if something, you realize that something is really affecting you and like is really pulling you down, it's okay to communicate that. And it's so important too as well, because like I think sometimes family or friends don't realize that they're like, they only want the best for you, of course. But if they have a different opinion and they're trying to communicate that to you, it can sometimes be very hurtful and very like, when you're already going a hard path like this, that you're literally going pretty much against like almost everything that society has taught us, it's very challenging when then people kind of not try to pull you down, but like, you know, say things that are very negative and like just very unsupportive. It's really, really, really important to like say where it's crossing your line and like communicate that and like just be very clear on that, because it's, in the end, it's your personal life. It's your life, and you're doing this for your own health and well-being. And so for me, it's like, I just think of it as like, if that's crossing your line, it's okay to say that, because it's going to have an effect on you. And if you realize that that is like not okay for you anymore, then it's okay to mention that to them.
Yes.
I don't know how you see that.
Yeah, I really agree. And like you said, especially with family, people can be more, not unsensitive, but it feels like boundaries can be pushed much further.
Yeah,
than
exactly.
With a stranger or a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like Valentina said that having a sense of where you want to set your boundaries is really important going into Christmas or maybe even mm-hmm. Thanksgiving or other celebrations that are centered around food, especially because when you're living with a chronic illness or a lifestyle cost illness and you want to bring about a change, it's so important to know where exactly your boundary is, because it's not going to cost anyone else but you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be set back on your healing journey because of one single food that you don't even want to eat, but someone mm-hmm. is pushing you to eat, or come mm-hmm. on, have a little, and you actually give in to that, then the only one who's going to become or feel sick or maybe even
suffer from it
will mm-hmm. be you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also up to you to decide, because no one else, even the people like family or friends around you who care about you, they don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to also be able to say no, thank you. And you can repeat that until they understand, because you don't have to explain yourself to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've explained yourself once already,
mm-hmm.
that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Also having like, because I think not becoming offensive, because some people will be very pushy, but come on, it's Christmas, take mm-hmm. a little, or come mm-hmm. on, you know, you will feel really good if you eat this,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know you. So not becoming offensive, because I know it can be really annoying to always have to explain yourself.
Yeah, or saying no constantly.
Yeah, or saying no constantly, because mm-hmm. then you take away so much of like the positive energy that's mm-hmm. around Christmas, and mm-hmm. you turn it into a negative one. And
yeah.
Personally, when I eat, I want to be around positive energy. And that's mm-hmm. like even the conversations around the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
So if I constantly have to say no and be like on my guard, having to mm-hmm. defend myself and my food choices, of course, it's not going to be, I'm not going to enjoy it as much mm-hmm. as I would like to.
Yeah.
So having boundaries and like knowing you and your story, like if they know you and you've explained why, that should be enough. And you mm-hmm. don't even have to explain yourself, mm-hmm. first
yeah.
of all.
What would you say would be like a good tip for somebody that is dealing with a lot of like questioning around this time of year? And feels like they constantly have to justify themselves, or like you said, like people constantly being like, oh, just have a little bit, like it won't do that much, it won't do any harm. What would you say is like a good way to respond to that in like you said, like in a non-defensive way, and like in like a positive and like open way?
Yeah, because what I was about to say is the word positive, because I think it's so important to go into whatever gathering, social gathering or event or dinner, and with a positive mindset. And mm-hmm. what I try to like have in my mind every time, like at least in the beginning, is that this is so obvious for me. Like there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And like this lifestyle and this choice that I've made for myself is, it's like so obvious that I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Because then it's more like, what do you mean? I mean, I eat this way because I love it so much. I think it's really tasteful, delicious. I feel good afterwards. I don't feel like so heavy and full, because that's mm-hmm. one of like the main things about Christmas. Mm-hmm. Most of the people will leave the dinner so full and drained of energy, but
rolling out the door.
Yeah, they will rolling out the door, and I will be so energized and happy and could go on for like 6 hours more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like pushing on the positives, and you don't necessarily have to explain why, but more be like open to explaining, like, I want to make these food choices because it makes me feel better,
mm-hmm.
More energized, and I will wake up tomorrow feeling super healthy. And right now I prefer not to take any of those things, even though it looks delicious and I'm so happy that you like it, but mm-hmm. it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
I love that. Mic drop. That's
no. But how would you do? How would you tackle that?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with everything you said. And I love that you said that, like, focusing on the positive things and, like, how explaining how it makes you feel and why you're choosing that way is, like, pretty much the best way to go, because they can't argue that. Like, they can't yeah. tell you how you feel or, like, you know, like, yeah, they can't argue it. I think another thing is definitely just kind of allowing them to just being like, if you want to enjoy it, you can enjoy that. I personally am making the choice not to. And just standing by that, like, you don't even have to, of course, you can mention these positive things. And like, that's definitely a really good way to go. But like, personally, I just shut down the conversation. Like, I'm just like, yeah. You know what? If you want to have it, enjoy it. I personally do not. And that's okay for me. Like, I have my other things. And like, if you want to take part in that as well, like, that's great. But I don't, like, I'm going to eat whatever I eat. And like, at the end of the day, it's like, why? I always wonder, like, why do other people care about the way that you eat or like what you eat? It's like, it's not their body. And it's like, if I choose to eat that certain way, that's my choice. And I respect other people eating certain ways, even if I don't agree with that, or I wouldn't do that the same way personally. I don't argue with them every single time that they eat something that I personally wouldn't. It's their mm-hmm. choice. And so I think generally, like, putting out the energy that you want to receive is definitely also a good thing, because like, if you're respecting of other people and their choices, even if you don't necessarily support that, hopefully they would reflect that energy back to you as well.
Yes. Be the energy you want to receive. And that's so true for these situations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can get super repetitive and annoying. And that's like when you maybe have to push, I mean, maybe set your boundary even harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for some people, like every person you're dealing with is going to be different. And I think that's also like something you have to assess for yourself, is like how you handle communicating those boundaries. Because yes, for some people, it's going to be more sensitive. And obviously, you don't want to create an argument or like a big conflict or something. And so I think definitely handling it with care and like really thinking about how you can best communicate it in order for both parties to be respected.
Yes. And I mean, if it gets too bad, or like people really won't even begin to understand where you're coming from and your choices around food, then you can literally leave. Like, you don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. You can just take your plate and go up to your room, or like, mm-hmm. I don't know, because even though it's super sad, but I mean, it shouldn't be that way. And mm-hmm. I feel like family and friends, if they really love you, they will try to understand if you give them a chance to, and if you maybe explain why. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They want to.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. We definitely hope that for all of you.
Yes. And otherwise, we hope that our tips maybe help you a little bit at least. And I mean, it's so difficult for us to imagine all of the different scenarios that might come up during these times, but at least trying to have like the positive mindset and shutting down the conversation, like Valentina mentioned, like, or even just leaving, because you don't have to. I mean, you can give it a chance. And if you have given it a chance so many times, like so many years in a row, and it happens each and every time, you can also mention in advance, like, no, I would actually prefer to celebrate Christmas with people who understand my lifestyle choices, because I want this to be a loving time where I don't need to, how do you say, defend my food choices. And maybe then that will give them time to think and reflect, because of course they want to celebrate Christmas with you.
Yeah. And also, I think if you know that you're the people that you're spending Christmas with, or any of these kind of social gatherings, it's like, if you know that they are going to question you and be unsupportive, and perhaps even if you know that they are probably not going to change their mind, it's also okay to mention beforehand that you don't want to have discussions about the way that you're eating, or you don't want to justify yourself. Like, you just want to enjoy this evening all together, and that's what it's about. And it's not about questioning other people's ways of eating and lifestyles. And
you know, you many other conversations to have.
Exactly. And so it's also okay to like mention that at the beginning, just like prepare people that that's just not a conversation that you want to have, and that they should please respect that. And just to bring that awareness to them, it's like that, then they can also really think about the fact that they're being really unsupportive.
Yeah. And that's a little bit about what we're going to go into next, about knowing the support that you need and how to maybe ask for it. And that's a beautiful way to start, you know, before even getting to the Christmas day, saying, asking in advance, or saying, mentioning that I don't want to be having any conversations around food, because one, they can be triggering, or two, I don't want to be justifying myself. And three, I think we can talk about so many other things during Christmas. But some other ways that you can ask for support around like Christmas, food, everything that evolves around Christmas time and being with family, I guess could be, if you're making food and you feel like it's very overwhelming, because maybe some people are very dedicated, want to go into Christmas having aniced every single meal, you know, and that can be a lot. And maybe then you can like look at some recipes that are easier and give them to some other family members so they can try out. And I think most people like a good challenge, and then they will see that, oh, this was actually quite easy. And they will, of course, appreciate the food more if they make it. So then they will even love it when they eat it. And then you will have two extra meals on the Christmas table that you wouldn't otherwise.
That's great.
But how are some other ways that like you usually maybe have been asking for support from your family when you've been not feeling sick? Because we also have to remember that now we're in a much better state, but when we were at maybe our lowest point, like how would you handle that?
This is definitely something really challenging for me, and I think also for many other people, like asking for help is like something that's just like
so hard. Why is
really
that
difficult? Because we think that we can do everything ourselves. I think one thing that has really helped me is understanding your love languages, and we have a whole episode about this, so you can definitely go back and understand those if you aren't familiar with them. But I think understanding the way that you receive love is a major game changer, because that can fill up your love tank, and then you also feel more like fulfilled and supported. And I think especially with support, like there's different ways to show support, and for some people certain ways of support are not going to resonate and they won't feel supported because that's not their love language. And I think that's like one of the main steps, is like understanding your love language, because then when people show that to you in that way, you're also able to receive it, because there's a difference of like people showing you support and you not resonating with it. It's like then there's a conflict because they feel like they're showing you support, but you're not like receiving it properly. And so I think like understanding the way that you actually will feel supported and fulfilled and then communicating that is like a major thing. And I think, again, like asking for support is such a challenging thing. And so I think, first of all, getting clear on what you really want is the first thing, because then when you communicate it, it's like that's like the most like straightforward way to do it. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense. But like, yeah. You know, it's like then what you're communicating actually will help you. Because I think sometimes if you like communicate something, like if you haven't spent time beforehand thinking about what you actually need, it's hard to then for people to put that into action and try to support you if that's not the way that you feel supported.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I also think that people, like loved ones around you, and this goes both for friends and family, they want to feel needed.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to show them that is to ask for help. And most times they will go above and beyond to actually help you out. And that's, of course, not something we should be taking advantage of and like just asking for help all the time. But one way to like show them your trust and your love for them is actually to maybe take some of your load and put it onto them, because you know that they can help you in a way that maybe you can't right now. And then for another time, you'll be able to help them out
mm-hmm.
in a different way that you're better at and maybe they need more help in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important mentality to have, especially around Christmas, because it's about showing love. And I think that this is something we should be doing all the time, but I feel like Christmas represents it or is a good reminder of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just showing love, which is a huge support, kindness, and being warm and open towards mm-hmm. everyone and everything, so that you can welcome any support that someone else needs. But also mm-hmm. because I'm a person who's like, if someone asks for help, I want to help them directly. I want mm-hmm. to be there for everyone.
Yeah.
But most people are like that in their yeah. true nature. So exactly. I have to remind myself that others are like that as well. And most probably the person that I would like to ask help of is the same as me and will be really happy to help me out.
Yeah, and I think there it's also a good way to put that into action is like reversing the role. So thinking like the person that you're asking support of, think if you were that person, what would you want yourself to do? Or like, how would you want yourself to like tackle this situation? And mm-hmm. then it's also much easier to understand how best to communicate it. And yeah, to understand both parties, because it's also sometimes hard for the person, if you're asking for support, it can also be hard sometimes to, because it's a very vulnerable situation that you're in, especially when you're not feeling well. And mm-hmm. it's hard sometimes to understand what the person really needs and how you can be helpful. Especially for me, like, it was sometimes hard for me to even know what I needed because I just felt so overwhelmed with the situation. And so putting yourself in the other person's shoes is sometimes a really good way to like understand the situation better and like handle the situation in the best possible way.
Yeah, that's so true. Reversing the perspective is super important. And then you'll also like most of the times you will take away any doubts and mm-hmm. like anxious thoughts or
exactly.
things around that situation. So that's a really good tip.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to round off our episode, I think one last point that we want to discuss is spending time with yourself around Christmas
mm-hmm.
and how that's can be very important to some people depending on how you charge your batteries. And mm-hmm. especially if Christmas is a very loaded time with a lot of anxiety, maybe around food or, you know, having to defend yourself and your lifestyle choices to family, and also asking for help. It can take a lot of energy. So how are you a person who needs to be taking a little bit of time to yourself at the end of Christmas, or how do you deal with charging your batteries?
For sure. Yeah, I think over the years, I've definitely learned more about how I get my energy. And I'm definitely somebody that needs to spend time alone in order to charge up. And I think that's also one of the reasons that I maybe felt more drained the past years, because I didn't know that and I didn't take the time for myself. And it is a very overwhelming time as well. You know, like you're spending so much time with like a lot of people, and it's a lot of like social things, and yeah, you don't necessarily always have the time or take the time to spend with yourself. And of course, not everybody charges up being by themselves. Like some people also get energy from spending time with other people, so it really depends the way that you like charge up. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, it's definitely something that I'm aware of and that I know that I need to take time to do in order to feel my best. I think some ways to do that is just to kind of like, first of all, of course, understand how much and what kind of time you need to be spending in order to make yourself feel more energized. And then I think communication is always like the main thing. And it's like communicating that again is like so important, because you're letting people know of that. And like, for example, for my sister, like her love language for receiving love is quality time. And so then in the past, maybe she would have felt like, I don't want to spend time with her. But in reality, it's just that I feel drained and I need to be charging up. And so that's why I need to be spending a little bit of time by myself. And so communicating that is like, that just like makes the relationship much more like, it creates much more understanding. But as well, like for me personally, like just going out into nature is a massive like energy giver for me. And like, I don't have to be doing that by myself. Of course, there's certain things that I want to be doing by myself because that's the way that it makes me feel most fulfilled. But there's also certain things that I know I can do with other people that will still give me a lot of energy. And so maybe during this time of year, it's okay to tap more into those things in order to like spend that time with the people that you love most, and like to not like be spending all the time by yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, just creating that balance is definitely really good. But yeah, what mm-hmm. about you? I know that you're also somebody that likes to spend time by yourself.
Yeah, I really love it's so strange, because I feel like before I got like super sick, I was really extrovert, and it was such a huge challenge for me to understand that I can't be this person anymore. So now I've like really learned to, how do you say, appreciate the introverted side that mm-hmm. I've developed, but I'm always like pulling towards the extrovert. Right. And in times of social gatherings, like you said, or different celebrations, it's finding the right balance.
Yeah.
And I think adding to what you said, which are really good points, like just communication and spending time out in nature, because that's something you can do with your family as well. You can just mm-hmm. all go on a walk, and you mm-hmm. don't have to be talking the whole time. It still mm-hmm. will charge up your batteries, at least for me, is that you can also charge up your batteries in advance. So now me into like going into Christmas Day, I'm thinking already about winding down, spending a little bit more time by myself, because I know that those days will be quite hectic and it will be a lot of people coming over, meeting up with friends and having these short interactions with everyone, mm-hmm. Which take a lot of energy for sure. And it's a lot of time in the kitchen, which takes energy as well, even though it gives me a lot of happiness. It's mm-hmm. still, you know,
draining
physical workload.
physical labor,
exactly. So it takes a lot of things are taking energy, so I think that charging up beforehand by just winding down a little bit and not being as maybe available in quotation marks, like being available to you and your needs and less to those around you, so that once you are required for Christmas and all the activities, you can be 100% there and present.
Mm-hmm.
And also during Christmas to take maybe a 5-minute nap or just like go up to your room and write in your journal just to get some thoughts out of your head. Or just like Valentina said, communicate your needs in advance, because then you don't even have to like excuse yourself. And also know that after Christmas is over, you get even more time to charge up. Because I really love, even though you sometimes feel a little bit drained after Christmas because it's so intense, like I love being part of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe 6 years ago when I was super sick, I couldn't. So then I would go up to my room and rest in between like different things that we would be doing. I would try to really boost myself in the morning, doing the medical medium like morning cleanses, and try to give my body the right prerequisites so mm-hmm. then I could be present. And also have your adrenal snacks, because a lot of people will forget about those during mm-hmm. festivities. but that's really important to give yourself the right energy so that you won't crash during the day as well. Like we said, it's so different because some people will charge up around different people and some people will charge up by being just by themselves. And mm-hmm. during Christmas, you're supposed to be with family, people that you love, hopefully, and good friends. And I feel like those mostly will give you good energy. And mm-hmm. even if you are I feel like I'm an extroverted introvert.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I will charge up a lot by being around the people that I really love and have like chosen in my life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I will get through that whole situation.
I love that. I think that sums up our episode really well. And I was definitely able to take away a lot of things that we talked about, but I hope that you guys were able to learn something as well. And hopefully this acts as a little support and booster for before the holidays or before Christmas especially. But yeah, we hope that you guys all have a lovely holiday season, whatever you're celebrating, if you're celebrating. And of course, we're always here to also support you guys. If you guys feel like you need somebody to talk to, our DMs are always open, and we're always happy to chat with you all. So yeah.
Yeah, I would love to hear what all of you are doing for Christmas and if you're celebrating, like how you're celebrating. So feel free to let us know in our DM. I would love to have a little conversation with them there.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I'd love that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll talk to you all next week.
And Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Bye-bye!
Bye, babe!
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode.
If you found something helpful, make sure to share this episode with your friend or a loved one you think could benefit from it.
And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe and leave a review, because it really helps spread the word to more health babes around.
If you haven't already, also make sure to follow our Instagram at Highway to Health Pod to stay up to date and connected on our upcoming episodes. And also follow our personal accounts at She's Powered by Plants and at LV Heels to get to know us even better.
Talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.